Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions' first home playoff game at Ford Field. As we know, they're hosting the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday night at 8 o'clock in prime time. We'll take a look at what we might expect out of the Rams, as well as that from the Lions. Plus, we'll talk about the major storylines surrounding this game, and there's quite a few. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
As usual, I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. As usual, Coach, it's great to have you here.
Oh, great to be here. That extra week. Hope they keep adding up.
I agree. We are in overtime for the football season, and it's fun to be playing in overtime. And let's start with major storylines this week. And let's go with the one that everybody's grabbing right away. And that is the easy one, the Matthew Stafford returns to Detroit. That's what everybody wants to talk about. And I got to say, Stafford played really hard while he was here. He played through injury. He had that desire to win. And I loved him as a Detroit Lions quarterback. And, you know, he did ask to get traded away. The Lions granted him that. So I don't think he's got ill will towards the Lions of any sort. The Lions did right by him, in my opinion. And so that's the big storyline of him coming back. Do the Lions fans have ill will against him for asking to be traded? Or what have you been hearing on the Stafford storyline?
Well, you keep hearing our quarterback's golf. And I love that. I mean, that is our quarterback. That was, a few years back that he was here. Yeah. I'm sure some are upset that he asked to be traded. I'm sure some, we know what our listeners are like and the people are out there. So yeah, I mean, there's always going to be that, oh my God, why did he leave? Why did he ask to be traded? Some of us were like, good for him, go out and get what you came for, and grass isn't always greener on the other side. In his case, it turned out pretty well, but now he's got to come back to our grass.
I hear you. Yeah. Come back to Ford Field. And, my thoughts on the Stafford storyline are, I have no animosity towards the guy. I'm not going to root for him this week. I'm rooting for our guy, JG number 16. He's our quarterback. And you know what? Talk about not getting enough respect. I mean, I felt like JG doesn't get enough respect. I felt like Stafford, everyone said how great he was and that the Lions held him back. And, we've talked about it. The quarterback gets too much credit and too much blame for wins and losses. And so if you look at Stafford and his storyline with the Lions, he has some great seasons. He tried really hard. He had some good teams around him, especially that 2014 team. And I forget, I might have been 2016 when the Lions made the playoffs, but Stafford hurt his hand with like 5 or 6 weeks left in the season. We knew we weren't going to go far in the playoffs if we made it because of that injury. So you got to take some of these blanket statements with a grain of salt and understand there's depth behind some of this stuff. Things are rarely black and white. There's often lots of gray involved. Now, the roster was pretty bare when Stafford left. I will admit that. And so I can understand his lack of optimism at that point. I mean, we all remember the talented players Quinn and Patricia exited from Detroit. And so let's shift the storyline a little bit to Jared Goff. I mean, that should be the storyline, I think, Coach. I mean, he was benched in his final year with the Rams in 2020. And then he had to come in when the guy he was benched for was injured. And they traded him away without him asking for it. So he's going to face the coach and the franchise that drafted him, the coach that traded him away. What are your thoughts on this storyline, Coach?
Well, everybody talks about the trade, and he was the bridge quarterback until we brought a quarterback in. I was excited when we got him because he had, just from his body of work that he did with the Rams and what he did on the college level, and anytime somebody you know, gets that new home to go to, and things maybe didn't turn out the way they thought they were going to in the old home, you know, that new decorations and the new Ford Field and all those things, it makes a big difference. And you walk in there with a big smile and you walk in there with a little chip on your shoulder and you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to prove everybody I'm not a bridge quarterback. Again, you and I talk about this all the time. We are always in this corner and I always will be in this corner no matter what happens over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And you know, I love him. He's our quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback we've had in a Lions uniform in a long, long time.
So that's the thing. I mean, if you look at Stafford and Goff, they are arguably the two best quarterbacks the Lions have had of the last 50 years. And when Goff got here, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff around him. I mean, can you imagine going from where he was a few years earlier, leading a team in the Super Bowl, to being traded away to a franchise that had a losing record, that was trying to piece together a new roster with a new coach and a new GM? And so I think, Coach, I'm going to make a statement. I think you're going to agree with me, but I want you to give me your opinion is, mm-hmm. you and I don't just look at talent of a player. We look at the heart of a player. Mm-hmm. And Jared Goff showed us that heart. I've said this multiple times. When he made that pass to St. Brown when they won the game against the Vikings, and he and Dan Campbell just hugged it out after that game, it was like it showed you that those two had a connection, and that is so vital for success.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I was just thinking that exact same play. I just watched that this morning, just the embrace of that. And that's when they say this is when it all started. And you could see the two of those guys were going to be intertwined. You know, they're going to be, you know, in the same basket or whatever way you want to look at, trying to reach the exact same goals. And, you know, when you got a leader like Dan Campbell and then you got a leader like on the field like Jared Goff, good things are going to happen. That's what's happening with us right now.
So both quarterbacks are playing their former franchises. As you mentioned, Stafford went to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. He asked for a trade. They won a Super Bowl. Jared Goff was traded away, hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he has done something that Matthew Stafford couldn't do in Detroit. He won a division title. And so both of these quarterbacks are now facing their old franchises. Coach, from your perspective, is there one that has an advantage over the other, or is it kind of just it's all equal?
I mean, the biggest thing for me, you know, let's go to Stafford. You know, he's facing a coaching staff he has never been around. You know, he is coming home into his field that he played many, many, many games, which I can't remember what his record was in Ford Field. I know it was. But anyways, so I think that's going to be a big thing. You know, it's going to be totally different. When he played at Ford Field, it was quiet. Now when he comes to Ford Field, the electricity is going to be off the charts. The decibel levels are going to be so high. So then you take Goff, for instance. He came from a program. The head coach is still there. The concepts that they have on are still there. His process, the thought process, their head coach, you know, McVay's thought process is still there, even though the D coordinator in Goff's spot has to worry about the D coordinator has changed. And so you got to give a little bit of advantage to that. But again, there's not a ton of it other than they're coming to our place in front of our hostile crowd. So you got to give Jared Goff the nudge on that one.
And one other thing to point out is this is not the first time Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions have faced Sean McVay and the Rams. The Lions went in there 2 years ago, back in 2021, and they put up a pretty darn good fight when the Lions were winless. And the Rams, I believe, were 5-1 or 6-1 at the point. And the Lions actually led during the third quarter of that football game. The Lions obviously have a much different team today, but I just want to point out, these two teams have coached against each other as recently as 2 years ago. Goff's going to know a little bit about what McVay does and mm-hmm. his offense, the way he runs things. And McVay's going to understand some things about Goff, but Goff mm-hmm. has undoubtedly evolved since he played with the Rams. We even heard Campbell say not too long ago that he thought Goff was playing the best football of his career. And so, you know, Coach Campbell was asked about this as well. He even weighed in on it.
I understand why people will be fascinated by it. I get that. So I guess I can appreciate if I'm sitting where other people are, Yeah, I mean, I understand it's one of these stories, you know. But it's a reminder too, though, and golf knows this, you know, for example. But we win as a team. Man, this is about the Lions versus the Rams, and we win with three phases here, and he's a huge part of that, and all he's got to do is do his part, and he knows that. So just do what you've been doing all year.
So Coach, you know, Coach Campbell said, they've got to win in all phases. It's a team focus. It's not Goff versus Stafford. They're not on the field throwing things at the same time against each other. And so it's going to be a team game. And you know what? This trade, it was one of those very rare win-win trades. I mean, the other team doesn't have to lose for you to win. And so this one, both teams benefited. It helped the Lions rebuild quicker, and we seem to be on a very good trajectory. And it got the Rams that Super Bowl title 2 years ago. Now, that trade alone didn't get the Rams to the Super Bowl. It was one part of it, and I think some people overlook that. The Rams also picked up other key players during the season, like Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr., and I think without those other guys, they still might not have made it to the Super Bowl. It took more than just one person to get them there. So let's go and talk now about what we expect out of the Rams coming into this game. Here's Campbell talking about the Rams offense.
I do know this, and the crossover tape and some of the things I have seen. Number one, they're still explosive on offense. They've been explosive. Their play pass game. But what's making it so dangerous, their run game, that's what's showing up. They've got a pretty dangerous run game. This mid-zone, they're running a lot more gap than they have previously. And so that's kind of where it all begins with them. And you put that with Stafford's ability to push the ball down the field, and it's dangerous.
So, Coach, Campbell gives a great perspective. He talks about their explosive. And if you want to look at explosive, for the season, the Rams are 7th in offense. They're 10th in passing, 11th in rushing. So that's pretty balanced. What are some things you have seen from the Rams offense?
Well, I mean, you got to look at, you know, just go through. Stafford's thrown for over 3,900 yards. Williams has rushed for over 1,100 yards. There's another big story there. Puka, the rookie, he's already set two records. He's got 1,486 yards. Pop, who missed five games, it still has 737 yards. And then, you know, Higbee, their tight end, has got 495. So when you talk about their offense, you know, you're looking at a dang good football team, you know, one that can run the ball like us, one that can, you know, and pass the ball. And Stafford's good enough to get the ball out of his hands quick, you know, for the pressures. I was just looking at it. You know, they scored 36 points against the Browns. They scored 31 points against the Ravens. So you look at that and you go, oh my, I text my Ravens and Browns buddies today. And I said, how did they put 36 and 31 points on you? And my nephew, that's a Browns fan, came back and said, quick passes, and we couldn't get any pressure on him. And so that's what McVay is. So you got to look at that. That's probably what McVay is going to try to do with us, because our pass rush has picked up a little bit. So, you know, they 36 and 31 against probably two of the best defenses in the league. And Browns, I can see it a little more because their offense can't move it. So that probably gave the Rams the ball a little bit more. But the Ravens is another story.
Those are some great pulls right there, because those are some good defenses they put up some points against. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You know, I think the big success, yes, we know Puka Nacua has set some amazing records as a rookie wide receiver. But Kyren Williams, that rookie who ran for more than 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, averaging 5 yards a carry, he is the reason that offense has revitalized the way it is. You know, and people will say Stafford never had a running game in Detroit. He did have one. He had Reggie Bush for a year that was successful. Most years he did not have a great running game. And the year the Rams won the Super Bowl, they did not have a great running game. But they have one now. And we know a good running game makes any quarterback that much more dangerous. And you're right, Kupp has been out. He's missed 4 or 5 games. But even with that, he's put up some stats. He's still a very good and dangerous receiver. And so I'm looking at the Rams, probably trying to get that running game going, because that will keep everything else in balance.
Yeah, which, you know, that's what we look for. Good, let's bring it, because we have a pretty good run defense. And, yeah, we want to get them out of their play action passes. we want to get Stafford, you know, back in the pocket and let the guy with the third most pressures and over 11 sacks get to him, as well as McNeil and the other guys that we got coming back. So it'll be good. I mean, it'll be good from that standpoint. And of course we can talk about it, but we're going to have to win that turnover back.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's switch over to defense then. Here's what Coach Campbell said about the Rams defense.
Defensively, man, it's just sound. It's sound football, and it's fundamentally on point, and these guys play hard. They play hard. They run the football. It's a young group and led by Aaron Donald. So, look, it's no secret why they're won whatever it is, seven out of the last eight games. They're doing it for a reason. I mean, this is one of the hottest teams coming in right now.
So, Coach, they are winners of four straight games. You know, Campbell brought that up. And Aaron Donald, I mean, you always think back for the Lions, what if, right? That was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Eric Ebron draft. And Aaron Donald was there. And he has been a phenomenal player his entire career. And so what are you expecting out of the Saints defense? Now, let me give you their stats real quick here. Their defense is 20th overall. It's one spot behind the Lions. They're 20th against the pass, 12th against the rush. So what are you expecting out of that defense you've looked at from the Rams?
Well, and you know Donald, you have to block. I mean, 10 years in the league, 10 years Pro Bowler. I mean, even Ray Lewis came out to congratulate him the other night when he got his All-Pro nod. You know, he's got 8 sacks. You know, I think he's the best in the league, in case there's people going to argue with it. But I do. I picked up a little clip that I watched with a rookie we had named Sewell that played against Aaron O'Donnell. I believe it was his rookie year. And they squared up pretty good and actually almost came to fisticuffs. And the referees had to break it up, and Sewell did not back down one bit. So I hope he has to line up on him. But, you know, and there is, it's not Donald, but the interior pressure, you always have to know where the guy is. His motor's always running. He can stop the run. He can run the quarterback down. He's just a phenomenal D tackle. You know, his partner inside, Turner's got 9 sacks. And then Young, the outside backer's got 8 sacks. So that's a pretty good number for those three guys. And so, you know, we're going to have to block him. But we've done pretty well with our, knock on wood, our O-line stays healthy. It always helps big time, because there's not one you can pick on, or one you can attack, or one you can line Donald over. And so, you know, I'm sure we're going to have many different schemes to offset Donald. But, you know, we'll see. I feel pretty comfortable in that aspect, because of our offensive line is so good, and he, you know, we just had to keep him quiet and not make huge splash plays like he does.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, the Rams defense is not the same defense that they had 2 years ago when they had Jalen Ramsey and Von Miller, and they made that Super Bowl run, but it is still a very good defense. And that is something the Lions are going to have to work through. And that offensive line is probably where it starts. So let's start talking about what we expect out of the Lions coming into this game. And I think it's going to start with that offensive line. We want to do two things, right? We want to give Goff time to throw. And I think you want to get that running game going. And, you know, it seems like we say this a lot, but if the Lions can do that running game, it makes the offense so much more fluid. The Lions ended the season 3rd overall in offense in the NFL, 2nd in passing, and 5th in rushing. And if they gained 90 more yards over the season, that would have bumped them all the way up to 2. So they're a top 5, but they're not far from number 2. So they have a very good offense. And so what are some of the things you're seeing out of this offense, or a key for the Lions?
Well, I think the run game, the play action pass. You know, last week we thought they were going to run the ball some more, you know, against the Vikings, and they were throwing the ball all over the place. And then, you know, afterwards I found out late, because I didn't see the inactive, but, you know, the Vikings were out 2 corners. So, you know, Johnson went after the 2 corners, and you know, we opened it up with the deep balls. I thought we threw more deep balls last week than we have in the previous weeks. You know, we turned loose to that guy that our wide receiver, I can't remember his name, because he's not an all pro player. He's 1500 yards, 10 touchdowns. Why would he not be all pro? Not that's in his mindset with his new blue Honolulu blue hair.
I love that hair, man. I love that hair.
St. Brown, you know, he's all in. And so I think that's one of the things you're going to get from us. We're going to open up. We're going to try. If you're going to pack the box to stop our tandem running backs, which I believe is the best in the league, then Goff's already shown he's going to let it go. And so I think that's something that's going to be interesting to see how we play it out. You know, we have an injury and a tight end, but I think Skipper can sit in and play that tight end position. I mean, he's got great hands. Like Coach Campbell said, Skipper tucked the ball in and ran the sidelines for that big 4-yard game. Oh, how much fun was that to watch?
But, oh, that was a ton of fun to watch at the game and see that pass to Skipper. And so, the running game is going to be big. And, again, the Lions, if I'm not mistaken, when they played the Vikings blitzed them and sent pressure quite a bit. And Goff played a very good game against Minnesota, even with that pressure. And there were a couple times he had to step around just elude just a little bit. And he made good decisions. And so I'm excited to see what we get going with the running game. I'm optimistic. I feel like we haven't seen it the last few weeks that we've seen in the past. But you bring up the great point, which is there might have been schemes. They may have schemed it a certain way based on what the other personnel was looking like. And if they're going to take something away, we know we have the tools to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And that, you notice what they do. Johns does such a great job of exploiting the defenses on what they're giving us. You know, is it a light box? Is it a heavy box? Are they in cover two? Are they not? You know, the Vikings run a bunch of goofy cover schemes, you know, and I haven't looked in the Rams. Are they doing the same thing? I don't think so. You know, they're more of a set defense type, which helps us. You know, are they going to disguise some things? Yeah, they probably are. But we put so much on their plate to defend that they watched over the last, say, 5 or 6 weeks, whether it's a run game, whether it's the deep shot game, where it's the dig, you know, deep dig game, and you know, where's the flare game, screen game, you know, they're going to have a tough time defending us as well. So, you know, it's going to come, you know, is it going to be a shootout? I can't, who knows? I just think, you know, we're definitely going to have to score a ton of points and win that turnover battle to offset the points they could score.
Well, and if you look, you know, the Vikings have a surprisingly good defense this year. Brian Flores has done great work there. I hope he gets an interview for a head coaching job and maybe leaves the Vikings after this season. You would not see me cry if that happened. But the Lions played the Vikings two of those last three games, and they played the Cowboys in Dallas. And Dallas at home has been really good. Even on the road, they held the Dolphins to 22 points. And so the Cowboys have had a decent defense as well, and so I'm really looking forward to the matchup. Again, like you, I don't know whether it's going to be a shootout or whether it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it'll probably dictate on the style of play that happens. So let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball for the Lions, though. I think the big key is, can we put pressure on Stafford? Well, first off, let me back it up. Can we keep our run defense going? Because that's been another thing. Even against Dallas, we shut the run game down and made the team one-dimensional, and therefore, I don't care how many yards a team throws for, because they're going to make more mistakes when you're putting the ball up in the air. So I think getting that running game defense continuing to do what it has done is probably the first key.
Yeah, we had some big run. We had some big runs against us last week. Yeah. I went back and watched the film after I got home from watching the game, and you know, there were some run fit problems. You know, we had a couple, two or three run fit problems where two guys ended up in the same gap, whether it was the two linebackers or, you know, linebacker didn't read the run quick enough. And which, you know, that'll all be changed and fixed this week. I mean, I don't worry about that. You know, we got McNeil back. You know, again, he's been out for 4 weeks. He played well. There's no doubt about it, but now he's got that rust knocked off. And so I think you're going to see some, you know, a better run defense this week, especially with McNeil back. And then, you know, Kaminsky didn't play last week because he's got a lot of miles on his tires, and they wanted to give him a rest day. So now he's going to come back energized. Excuse me. So I feel comfortable with that, because, you know, the changes in the film don't lie. You know, we'll fix and correct any little bit of mistakes that we had last week.
Yeah, and I think the defense now affecting the passing game is we got to try and put pressure on Stafford. and force him into mistakes, because everyone will talk about Jared Goff's mistakes. But I found this interesting stat. Since the 2021 trade between the Lions and Rams, and again, both players have missed some time, so I don't know if it accounts for the same number of games, but both players have 24 wins, 66 completion percentage, 75 touchdowns to 78. They both have 41 turnovers, and their passer rating's like one number apart from each other. We know that Matthew Stafford, while a very good quarterback, can also be forced into making mistakes if he's pressured or trying to force something. So that's another reason why we need to do that. You know, if Hutch can keep up what he's doing lately, that man's been on fire lately. And then having McNeil and CJ, you mentioned it, they got a game under their belt already. How big was it for them to play in that Vikings game going into this next week?
Oh, it was huge. And I, you know, again, the first thing I see is we have to stop the deep ball. We have to stop the was that a 4th and 30 or 4th and 28 play? And again, when you have CJ's back, you're flipping him and Iffy and Joseph, and then Maven's in there in a coverage concept. You know, we blew. There were three coverage concepts blown on there, which I know we were in a cover two, and somebody's tweak down when you're flipping guys left side and right side, trying to get fits and trying to see who's going to be able to play. Again, those are all things that I believe AG did and has it on film and go, we can't do this. We can do this. Hey, we can't do this, but let's tweak this. And so those are the big things for the pass defense. And then again, as much pressure as we can get, you know, on Stafford to make him create him, to make a mistake, to make him have happy feet. Cause we've all seen it. And he's got every slot. He can put his arm in every slot he wants to and throw it. But we have to make sure that when he does do that, we're in the right place to make that pick. And I think we will, we'll still get pressure. You know, again, Kaminsky's fresh. McNeil's got a game under his belt. You know, we got our corners coming off the edge, the blitz with Campbell. So you can see all those things, all those pieces are coming together. And, you know, if we get somebody else off the IR, that might be another bonus for us. So I'm looking forward to that defense playing at the best of their ability this week because of the lessons that they've learned over the last 18.
Yeah, and you brought up that the Rams have done a lot with the screen game. Well, the thing that gives me optimism is since that Dallas game, the last 2 weeks, we have seen our guys getting to the line and past the line quickly. I mean, saw that end around to Justin Jefferson, and Hutchinson's there to tackle him for like a 7 or 12 yard loss. And so as long as we get those guys keep coming up, Vildor's hitting great. You know, you've got Branch in there. CJ's back. So I think that's going to help a lot. And that's going to be essential, is that the second level gets there quickly during those screen passes. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and look at other major storylines or anything else that might be unexpected from either team. And I guess the storylines I want to start with are the two injuries to the Lions. We all know Sam Laporta got injured. We're going to know more as the week goes on. You know, if he's limited, if he can't go, Campbell said there's an outside chance, but, you know, we don't know yet. The Lions would have James Mitchell, and it looks like they're going to have Brock Wright back. He's out. He's been out, but he's expected back. And if you remember last year, after we traded TJ Hockenson away, Brock Wright was pivotal. And he caught, if I'm not mistaken, it was Wright who caught that fourth down pass play against the Bears and took it like 35 or 40 yards. And so, Coach, if Laporta's out, that would be a loss. But how well could Mitchell and Wright, how good can those guys be, and how would it look if he's out?
Well, Wright's he's a great blocker. He makes catches when he needs to make catches. I mean, that's the thing with him. You know, next guy up. You know, it's the next guy up mentality that like Campbell says, we're built for this. They've taught these guys. You know, I look at that, and I'm going to go back to Mitchell. It's that fourth down play. We try to run a sweep right after, I think it was right after Laporta got hurt, and Mitchell whiffed on the block on Hunter. And Hunter made penetration and got gives before he gets to the edge. He's not going to make that mistake again because he's a professional in the way these guys teach and the way these guys learn. And so I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's the first thing I think you and I looked at each other. Oh my God, why'd they run that sweep? Well, we done well in that sweep all year. And then when I watched, of course, I came home and watched the film, and Mitchell just, Hunter slanted hard. Mitchell didn't get down harder. We run that play again, and Mitchell's in the game. What's Mitchell going to do? Probably going to squeeze his split down a little bit and make sure he gets to the hip of the guy slanting inside of him. So, again, huge minutes for Mitchell last week. He had a big catch. Huge minutes. You know, knock on wood, we hate to see, you know, sad that Laporta went out, but also an opportunity for a guy to come in and get a big catch and learn on the fly and make, and basically tell us we got two good backup tight ends right now. And if Laporta's back, we're going to have three.
Yeah, that's great. And we do have guys, you know, again, Brock Wright got a lot done last year. Mitchell has been a receiving threat in college, hasn't shown as much as we would have thought in the NFL so far. But part of that could be victim of circumstance as well. When you're surrounded by a lot of other very talented people, that can affect it. Now, another guy who sounds like they're going to be out is Khalif Raymond. And so, Coach, how does Detroit get production out of his position if he is out of the game?
Well, I mean, we got Peoples Jones, you know, so that's one of the things that's going to help us. He's a little bit bigger receiver. He's not as fast. You know, he could probably be doing the returns. We have some huge returns last week, you know, so those are just things that they're going to have to play over. And you know, I mean, Peoples Jones will come in. He had a couple catches last week again, right? Two, maybe three. I don't remember exactly what it was, you know, filling in. It gives him that, you know, an opportunity to step up. And, you know, again, it's the next man up. It's still a body that can run routes. He's a bigger body. It's still going to create other mismatches for St. Brown and Reynolds. And we have J-Mo back too, right?
We are. And so could you see the Lions using J-Mo as a return man of any sort?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. He is... It'd be nice to watch, but I don't see it happening because that's that position. You don't want to put a star player like him in. So, and I'm not saying that the other guys aren't star players, but you know, let him do what he does and have a couple of return reverse touchdown runs this week, and that'll be fine.
All right. And now, you know, another question I have or wonder is the Lions defense. The last few weeks, they've been giving up considerable more yards passing than the weeks before that. And that's obviously nothing that gets you excited. But again, we talked about the scheming things and you kind of do things. Well, the Lions, you know, they held Dallas and Minnesota the first time to very few yards rushing, forcing the quarterbacks to beat you in those games. And listen, Stafford's no Nick Mullins, but we did the same thing against Dak Prescott. And I know CeeDee Lamb caught a lot of yardage, but the Lions were in that game. Do you think the Lions could do something similar to that or not necessarily?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, here's the other thing, too. Or let's go back to CD. Take that 92-yarder away. He averaged 11 yards of reception. You know, you're going to give up. Those guys are good football players, man. I mean, you just can't give up the big deep ball. We gave, you know, and again, we go back to the last game. We gave up. I think we had two deep balls, especially, you know, after we came back and scored, right? But they pulled it within one. And again, that was a blown coverage concept. You know, those are things that are going to be changed around with the pressures and stuff like that. Yeah, the biggest thing for us on Saturday is to not allow that to happen, the big ball. You know, if the team goes down, you know, you take 2 weeks to go two against CeeDee Lamb. Oh, they're dinking dunkers. Boom, they're hitting us. Boom. What do? We create a turnover at the goal line. You know, sometimes it's a bend, don't break with teams like that. Squeeze that field down a little bit. You know, because any time in the red zone, there's not a lot of areas to cover, and we fare very well in that area. So I think that's something that you might see from our defense and our schemes this week.
And again, this game is at Ford Field. It's the first home playoff game for the Detroit Lions since 1991, which took place at the Silverdome. I expect to be it going on a level we have not seen ever at Ford Field because it's that first playoff game in so long, and with the team coming in, we've got so much hype around this. Now, I interviewed Robert Gonzalez, the Detroit Lions Fan of the Year, Lion Eyes, and he said he was at that game, and he said nobody sat down the entire game. Now, Coach, I know you were there, too. Can you briefly talk about what the atmosphere was like at that game?
Oh, it was, and especially in the Silverdome, because it was 80,000, something like that, and it was so loud and so energetic the whole time. And he's correct. I mean, everybody was up, everybody was standing, there was nobody sitting on their hands. There were people watching the game and not leaving in the middle of a play to go get something to eat or drink. And you know, they were actually there to watch the football game and not say I was at the football game. And I think we're going to get that. A little shout out to all the fans that are going to be tailgating, probably starting at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Pace yourself, please, so that when 8:15 hits, your energy level is skyrocketed. Monsters, whatever. I don't care. B12s. Do what you got to do. Just get knocked the roof off that place.
All right. Well, another thing we're hearing about this Ford atmosphere, you know, things to think about the atmosphere at Ford Field is, how do you think Stafford's going to be treated? And what do you think the response from the crowd's going to be? What are your thoughts on
that? You know, it's weird. I know there's people, you know, if we were there, we're at a place, we're at the Rams, we'd probably be clapping and cheering, you know, but I think when he comes out, there's going to be I think you're going to have the full capacity booing, other than what the Rams fans there, or maybe not even acknowledging him when he comes out. When he throws an interception, they're going to blow the roof off. You know, if he fumbles the ball, they're going to blow the roof off. And that's the stuff that we're going to have to do with that situation. The key is screw him up so that he has to burn timeouts, or he gets delay of games, which puts him behind the sticks, and then go from there. And when he makes a mistake, they're going to let him have it. So I think that the Detroit fans, as excited as we are as winning, are going to get some energy against him. And the energy is going to pick up every time they realize who the guy is. Let's shout out to Reynolds too, you know, for our guy. I mean, he's, you know, he was over there too, you know, and him and Goff came here. So, you know, that's, you know, we didn't talk about him as much, but you know, there's also a thing with him, you know, coming here. So anyways, I just wanted to touch base on that one too, because we talk about Goff and Stafford, but there is a second man involved.
Oh yeah, Josh Reynolds played with Goff at the Rams, and then he came over to Detroit halfway through that season. Lions signed him to a 2-year deal after that. That was such a great move. As far as Stafford being treated, you can appreciate the guy and be thankful for what he did when he was with this franchise, but he's the enemy this week, and we're rooting for Jared Goff, Josh Reynolds, everybody in the Honolulu Blue, and you know what? If you want to have some ceremony 5 years down the road for the guy, we can talk about that 5 years down the road. It's Sunday night, prime time. Now, another thing that's come up is Stafford's jersey in the crowd. And some people have said, we should not have Stafford jerseys in the crowd. You should have a Stafford jersey trade-in for Jared Goff. What are your thoughts on the Stafford jersey in the crowd thing?
Is it Honolulu Blue? That's all that matters. Because nobody on the field is going to see the back of the jersey. They're only going to see that Honolulu Blue with the number 9. And who wears number 9 for us?
That's Jameson Williams. And that's the thing, folks. I understand you might not want to see Stafford jerseys in the crowd, but not everybody can afford to go buy a brand new Lions football jersey right before a game. But you know what you could do? Go white, get some duct tape. Duct tape on the back of your jersey and write Williams. And if you don't want to write that many letters, just write J-A-M-O on the back of that jersey and just put J-M-O on there. I think that would be awesome. And like you said, we got a number 9 right now, and we are excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. White duct tape, the old cliche, if you can't fix it, duck it, right?
Exactly. As far as this week goes for the Detroit Lions, the only thing that matters is winning against the Los Angeles Rams. And Coach, is this the biggest game for the Detroit Lions franchise since that 1991 season?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, you can't even fathom how big it is. You know, we talked about it. You know, they've been and I'm talking from a team standpoint also. They've had this checklist that they want to check things off as they get along. Win the North, host the playoff game, win a playoff game, you know, and then, you know, and of course they have more and more like that. So, but it's just huge. It's huge for the city. It's huge for the fans, for the players, for Dan Campbell, for Holmes, for the Fords. It just goes on and on. You know, for us to be in this situation with the 12-5 record and to be able to have a home playoff game to again show the world what we're all about.
I agree. I think it's their biggest game. I expect Ford Field to be in a frenzy in a way we haven't seen. And, you know, I appreciate the Lions winning that last game against Minnesota. And it goes right back to what you said weeks ago. And the Lions aren't backing into the playoffs like some teams are right now. The Lions are driving into the playoffs, and it is a very exciting time to be a Detroit Lions fan. All right, Coach, let's look at predictions. It's prediction time. Again, we don't usually predict the winner or the loser or the scores even like that for those first-time listeners if you aren't aware of how we do things, but we make some predictions. And so I want to throw out there that I expect one heck of a game. And I'm going to predict the unpredictable, right? Because think about Lambeau Field week 18 last year. But this week, 18, 19, take like week 19. It's even crazier because we're at home and we're in the playoffs. So the playbook, everything is out there. You can use anything and everything. So my first thought, my main thought is I'm predicting the unpredictable. How about you?
I agree with you on that. I think, you know, we talked about this week one, you know, and I think one of the predictions that I made was you're going to see a trick play. You know, you may see, you right? We saw a trick play. You may see a fake punt. You may see an end around, you may see a double pass reverse, you know, those are all things, but I know what you will see is you'll know that Rams coaching staff right now is pulling their hair out, trying to figure out what they think they're going to see and what they predict. So I think you're going to see that. I think we're going to come out that I think we're going to see our defensive line play the best game that they've played all year. With the bodies that we have coming back. And I think our coverage is going to be great too.
Coach, I do agree with you that we will see some predictability as well. That predictability by the Lions is going to be the grit, the heart, the determination that they have played with all season. That ability to never give up and to play through everything. And I think this is a culmination of the season. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, they put together an amazing group of players, a great coaching staff, and this Sunday night's going to be the culmination of it. Awesome. I am so looking forward to this game like every Lions fan is and has been for as long as Ford Field has been opened and arguably since that 1991 win over the Dallas Cowboys. And so, Coach, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just looking forward to that game on Sunday night and keep grinding, Lions, and stay healthy.
Great talking Lions as usual, Jerry. I can't wait for Sunday night. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.